Hello, I'm Kathy, and I play Lavaline Crest, our resident Swan Noble. We are an independent podcast. Please join us on Patreon, Instagram, and Twitter at CBHPod. Thanks for listening.
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. Learning magic is no easy feat, but teaching magic is even harder. Both learning and teaching magic are tremendously harder than practicing it. Some beings, enviably, are born with a natural relationship with magic, and these beings will soar on the currents of magic in ways those who learn it never will. Let me put it to you this way. Imagine the practice of magic is akin to swimming. No matter the animal, no matter how sleek the otter, or powerful a swimmer the seal, it is adapted to the water. It will never be a fish. Imagine magic is akin to flying. A human being may spend as long as they wish studying and constructing their wings of wax and down, but they will never be a bird. There is no small amount of truth to the adage. A mage envies a natural magician, for where they suffered and have striven to grasp magic, the natural born awoke with it in hand. But the rest of that adage is often lost. The second phrase is usually left off, and the true meaning has been lost, as have many expressions. To lift oneself up by the bootstraps, in truth, means go ahead, just do the impossible. Hoist yourself up to the strata, it's easy. Just reach down and defy gravity. Imagine literally lifting yourself up. Just grab your hair and pull yourself upwards. Something that children might think possible. The true and full expression is this. A mage envies a natural magician for where they have suffered and striven to grasp at magic. The natural born was born with it in hand. And the natural born envies the mage for the very same reason. There are benefits to being an outsider to a system. There is mastery to be gained in pain and effort to understand the inner workings of magic. Or rather, I should say, a mortal's relationship with magic. Magic itself is as unknowable in truth to us as we are to the bacteria beneath our fingernails. A fish born in the sea will swim in a way other animals will never match. It will never comprehend the ocean's vastness as one who stares upon the ocean from the cliffside will. But a fish dies in the air. A fish is blind on the shore. Amelia Alagosa Altadun, the Blue Rose War Witch, remembered, nearly word for word, the beginning of Professor Barrett Brittle's lesson from her study of sorcery at the Abernathy Magica, as she watched the group called the Nearlys stumble around the Festival of New Life. They put her in mind of this difference between learned and natural magic. They seemed to her to be attempting to engage with, understand, and master the art of heroic adventure, the same way a first-year magic adept tries to understand spellcraft. She had come from the Revelwood, where she had retired to, or more accurately, where she was hiding out, to witness the full witch moon, and found the Candlewood had some strange guests. She scoffed at the absurdity of them. The heroes are all gone. Vanished, the rumors say, though Amelia did not accept the explanation of a grand battle at the edge of time for a moment, and these are what the Guildmaster scrapes up to replace them with. Hybrids of heroes and monsters hewn together with curses and blessings and twisted fate, what a mess. Amelia had done her time, had given more than she ever imagined, and had the rest stripped away from her. The word hero and the word martyr, were they really different? She let petals of clear blue magic fall from her fingertips as she watched these stitched-together parodies of her lost comrades laugh and dance and play. "They have no idea what's coming," she said to herself as she spied the swollen, distended shape of the witch moon. "Whatever it is that happens next, it has nothing to do with me," she assured herself. "I won't be drugged back in under any circumstances over my dead body."
Hey, it's me, Gwen, your favorite manatee witch. And things are very witchy in the Candlewood right now. The Nearlys have arrived at the Candlewood just as the festival of the new moon begins. And what a festival it is. Did you see how well Sweet Todd did in the familiar Westminster? I'm so proud. But the constant danger and conflict after being swept up in the 20th midnight has given little time for fun and frivolity, but the witches definitely know how to party. There's almost certainly no catch or twist or ulterior motives at play whatsoever as the moon rises to its zenith.
The gathered witches look like really happy that you've all had positive experiences with their festival. Like they're all kind of beaming.
Except
and
lovely.
Proud.
Lovely.
She looks super. You're not sure what she did, but she looks kind of happy.
Yeah,
you made some deals. Yeah, that's fair.
I do have a little bit of smug satisfaction.
A little pep in your
face.
Step.
Yeah, a little pep in my step.
And when Otak shows back
spring
up again,
in your wing.
And when Otak shows back up again, even he has a bit of a rosiness to his cheeks and a flower behind his ear. You're not sure.
Got
he
some.
Went to the orgy tent.
He did not.
Yes,
go to the
yes,
orgy
he did.
Tent.
I know
no,
it.
No, no.
He went to the sex
Bullet
tent.
And chatty shop.
He hasn't felt that relaxed.
Why is the sex tent like all stretched out now?
Yeah, what the fuck?
God,
what'd
no.
you do to the sex?
You
tent?
Tell me.
I'm so sorry.
No.
No.
Fine, don't let Otax fuck, Robbie.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. It's just not. I would be totally fine with it.
Why do you hate Otax so much?
Yeah, you're cock blocking Otax.
Yeah, you
block
want him to have blue balls and be a blue ox at the same time.
The blue
wow.
ball, blue ox.
Yeah, whoops.
So
sorry,
sad.
Guys.
It's so sad how this happened.
Okay, so another one of the mothers, this one with the sort of grandest headdress, which even has like lit candles in it, has now like sort of glided out from the back of the festivities out through this like beautiful arbor of branches and leaves and flowers, and she comes out. "The moon dance is ready at the inner circle, my sisters. Preparations are complete. Would all prospects as new sisters please join us in the inner circle. Oh. Only those of a feminine energy may join us within the sacred place."
Okay.
"And you, Mr. Cambion, of course, devils are always welcome."
I'm in. Let's go.
Gwen's already in the
circle. I'm already in the...
Yeah.
I've not even waited to be invited.
Floating over.
Remember your discipline.
Shh. She's floating away from you on the winds of wily freedoms.
I don't think Leveline would go. Why would she?
Great. So if you don't join or don't want to join in, then Mother Mirrodin, who is still sort of playing with this little like Deladrador or King Dem voodoo doll, stabbing it now and then with a silver pin.
They could be valuable allies. Just saying. That's why we're here.
Oh, I'm feeling great. I'm going right on in.
Let's go.
That's definitely enough for Leveline to, with that whisper.
Good. So the mother's eyes had like raised up to you, like she was,
and like she'd paused,
like
and
she
was
paused,
like,
or like curious as to whether or not you were going to join the inner circle.
Well, anything to keep him getting stabbed.
Every time it hits it, you can feel this like. Ugh.
Martin, are you coming?
It's not Martin anymore.
He's got a little bond.
Martina!
Martina!
Martina Navratilova!
And I will be right there, yes. Nothing.
Post haste.
So Grandmother Polly, the one who was making the potions, this adorable, sweet little old lady.
Oh, my dear young lady. The darkness that you carry behind that protective rune, I must warn you, the inner circle is a place of freedom and abandon. I cannot guarantee that your warding device will survive the inner circle.
Oh.
Don't love that.
Well, I understand. Charmed, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, charmed, I'm sure, sweet young. Look at this sweet lass, and she pinches your cheek. Enjoy the festival, though, my dear.
I will.
And she sort of just tut-tuts into the back. All right, so Kamara, Kamoro, and Velderwell, the, like, little sprightly, plump little witches who first invited you to the Candlewood. One of them, the one in front, Kamara, with the green hair. Oh, God, I hope that's right. Hope I got that name right for the run. The one I described with the like, green in her hair. Floats over towards Xenator and Martin and, like, the other members of the party who are not going into the ladies in a sanctum.
In a sphincter.
Damn it. Why do I just repeat the jokes?
Sounds good.
You confirm them.
Just confirm Amanda's jokes. So she sort of floats over to you.
Actually, Zentor.
Yes?
Your wizardly acumen could serve to help us with a little something that we've found, a strange occurrence, a disturbance in some standing stones
in
nearby.
In the force, if you will.
Yeah, I'd happy to take a look.
Good, good. Would you join Sovi and Malloway as they go to investigate?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. It is outside of the protections of the Candlewood, but Sovi and Malloway are some of our most powerful young witches. They should be able to keep you hidden, and but I do recommend taking a few of your friends along for just safekeeping.
Would you mind?
Yeah, I guess I'm... Yeah, I'm gonna come. I have nothing else going on.
I have no excuses.
And I am very uncomfortable here. I would love to join you.
All right.
Good.
Otex, you should embrace your feminine energy more. I find it's very,
very
empowering. Yeah, and limbering.
Should we take Daughterfell too?
Might as well. Yep, might as well.
Okay. Not a gaster.
I'm just happy to be included.
For I know once. I know you are, buddy.
Naughty gaster, come on, we're going. Yes, yes. My magical know-how is most important on missions of this sort.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just want to be important.
Okay, so great. So now we have two. We
split the party.
Split the party. Okay, so on the way, so on the way to the Standing Stones, you get to know Sovi and Malloway. So Sovi has tight red braids, like, pulled up on either side of her head, and every inch of her is covered in, like, beautiful blue carved sigils and runes, like, into her skin, under her eyes, curling around the sides of her ears, each one meant to enhance her physically somehow or give her some ability. So she is just, like, loaded out. I mean, she's, like, she looks to you like an adventurer, like, loaded down with armor and sword and magic necklace, magic ring, but they're all carved into her skin. So she just, like, travels in this, like, thin, you know, mossy shift, but she is still loaded, like, loaded for bear. Malloway doesn't look like she knows what's going on. She looks completely, like, lost. Her eyes are filled with moonlight. They just glow silver, and her hair sort of flows like she's underwater, but you feel, like, potent magic coming out of her. And she keeps looking over at Martin, and you can see that she's, like, looking behind his eyes, like, deep into his soul. And when she looks at Xenator, it's like she's looking through him, like she doesn't see anything there at all. So these are two very powerful young witches, and sure enough, they cast a few spells and a path like carves its way through the woods ahead of them, and you don't have a feeling that you have to worry about the bears and monsters and ghoulies in the woods.
No.
So, what exactly are we investigating?
Yeah.
Standing stones.
Hmm.
Something wrong with them. The magic twisted.
Hmm. Interesting.
Has this happened before?
Never.
Now, what's a standing stone?
Standing stones are ancient places built to tap into the power of the old bones of Faretal.
Quite.
No.
They are huge stones that stand, and they stand for eons, meant to stand for an eternity. They have different magical properties. These are stones of stillness, meant to imprison, perhaps, meant to bring stasis and slowness and peace.
Now, when nice. You say slowness...
Charmed, I'm sure. All right.
Charmed, I'm sure.
All right, I've got nothing else to say.
When did you notice the abnormality?
The two of them look at each other a little bit like, tonight, in fact. Just now. We would have investigated sooner, but the preparations for the festival are extensive.
Taxing.
Taxing and disorienting.
So, wait, do you think that the abnormality's been there and you just didn't notice until just now? Or
that
it just happened?
That is my feeling, is okay. That it happened during our preparations. Perhaps someone knew that our preparations were underway and use that as cover, or perhaps it is just an unfortunate coincidence.
Sabotage!
We use these stones regularly to prolong our lives. The stones of stillness slow the aging process of our bodies, slow the process of disease, the forward momentum of time itself.
Are you currently using them to imprison anyone?
I am not sure if they are imprisoning anyone. If it is, they are deep beneath the earth, far beyond our reach or knowledge.
Does anyone else have access to this place of power?
Not while we are watching.
Hmm.
Okay.
Which makes me think, and this is as the standing stones like come into view, that someone who knew of them, someone from our coven, has told an outsider or has used them for themselves. And you can see that the standing stones are cracked and twisted and warped like they have.
Saboteur.
Like they were clay and they have been re-sculpted.
The call's coming from inside the house.
That's not good.
That is very bad. And steam rises from like an altar in the center of them. As if, like, whatever spell was done here is still, like, boiling and, like, sizzling at the center of the altar.
Well, I have my broom, so I'm not even going to be in the scene. I'm just going to fly off.
Silhouetted up with the moons above. Gwendolyn.
I thought the moon was down with us.
Interesting that you should ask
the
about the moon.
Partying.
Mm-hmm. The moon's too busy partying.
Interesting you should make all of these comments about the moon, because as you are brought into the inner sanctum, this, like, beautiful arbored grove in the center of the Candlewood. You see why the mother's moon isn't in the sky. It is here, down, laying on the ground, half buried in the dirt where moon lotuses glow and grow out of the earth around it. It is a glowing dome with a pregnant belly. You can see a navel on it, and it has just this absolutely exquisite, like, glow and soft curvaceousness to it up close. I mean, it's mighty huge, but clearly there's some sort of distortion in time and space, because you know, looking at it, that it is both in the sky and here. So this is more like an avatar of the moon, like a projection or and just being in its presence is like incredibly awing and incredible. And there is an animal laying in front of this large, swollen belly and it is kind of curled up on the ground, and it appears to be sleeping. And it itself looks like it is made out of moonlight and starlight, and it has a single curling spired horn coming off of the middle of its forehead, and it is laying sleeping with its like head like down in the downy grass. A unicorn is laying in the grass in front of the moon.
I've never seen one of these in real life.
And just laying your eyes on it fills your eyes with tears of joy at its just exquisite beauty. And everyone in the grove like takes a moment to just like revel in its glorious presence as it sleeps peacefully.
I want to pet it.
Would you? Yes, you approach, and no, you know, no one says anything or stops, and you raise up towards it, and as your hand comes close to it, the wood, like the wooden skin, parts and like pushes backwards, and like the like as if the curse cannot exist, and you feel your soft like pliable skin of your hand as you reach out towards it. All right, you lose 1 point of reckoning.
Ooh! I drink its blood. Just kidding. That was a joke. I don't do that. All right. Reckoning down to 12. Let's go. The more time I spend petting this unicorn, the more reckoning I lose.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so Gwendolyn starts to pet the unicorn.
It really likes it.
It doesn't seem to wake up, but it does, like, its ears do, like, kind of gently, like, flick.
It's purring.
It purrs. Yeah, it purrs like a cat.
It's so beautiful. What's its name?
Dennis.
Dennis.
Thanks, tree.
Thanks, tree.
Mother Braladine pats you gently on the shoulder as she looms over you.
The name of a unicorn is not for us to know. Not for mortal ears. They live forever as unchanging and perfect as the moons that they hail from. The starlight in the sky will fade before their glory does.
I love her. Yeah. Or him. Or neither or both.
They are above such things. They are
they transcend
above.
Gender.
They transcend everything, my dear.
Oh.
I'm so glad that we could share this with you.
Amazing.
And then the moon, something inside the moon kicks. And the swollen part of the moon's belly, like, distends slightly. And you think you see maybe a huge hand or something pushing from inside
the baby.
Pregnant moon.
The baby.
New life. It is near, yes, and in the deluge of blood and furious joy at its arrival shall we anoint new sisters. Do you wish this to be you?
Yes.
So she turns towards you, and the moonlight seems to shine upon Lavaline and Val and Gwen and another woman and another woman and another woman nearby. The woman nearest to you has ebony black dress and pitch black hair pulled up in a net of dark black diamonds.
Yes, Mother Braladine, I do wish to join your coven, says Elida from right behind you and over your shoulder.
Record scratch hardcore.
What are you doing here?
I am supplicating myself before the coven of the Grimwood, as you should be.
You tried to kill us.
A lifetime ago.
That was like a week and a half. Sure. It was 2 weeks. 2 months.
It's like a week.
A week ago. Yeah.
A week and a half ago.
It's like last week.
8 days, 12 hours, 14 minutes ago.
So you see Delienda and Calliantha, the sisters who were twisted by the glorious magic, the infection of the glorious.
The twisted sisters, yeah.
Became the Twisted Sisters, nice. Woven like wet ice cream into one another. But they're standing there, and other than one of them having sort of like deep bruised purple skin and the other having like a light pinkish rose colored skin. They look exactly like they did on the day of the wake when you encountered them last.
You two were a mess the last time we saw you.
What?
Delianda looks confused.
What do you mean?
And her sister, Caliantha.
Yeah, your mom ruined your whole life and threw you under the literal bus.
We feel fine. We feel beautiful.
Oh, no.
Glory.
Well, this just killed us.
No!
They say it together.
Not even a unicorn's going to save my buzz kill right now.
Oh, no. I was feeling really good about this, but now I'm not so sure.
I think we need to go.
Meanwhile, out in at the standing stones that are twisted and shattered and warped and all fucking messed up.
This is terrible. What has happened here?
You don't know. Maybe we can find out.
The stones are cracked and twisted like they were made into clay and then like deformed by a massive hand. All right, investigation takes place as you peruse the magical energies and twisted shapes.
Martin, can you help me look?
Yeah, I can try. A little out of my wheelhouse, but sure, I can look for stuff.
If you'd like, you can just assist Senator and add to his role.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, give him a plus one. And so, Senator,
you said that there's still magical residue. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start by like trying to figure out what I can about like the kind of magic that was used and try to guess at its purpose.
All right.
So Arcanist, Sage... this one may be inquisitive.
Yes, indeed.
While this is going on, Martin's just pointing. Is this something? What about this?
Actually, that's right. Do you have a facet that you think might help that he doesn't have?
And I'm going to actually, I don't think that his, randomly put, I think he has instincts that I'm going to follow.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Weird, perfect. Actually, double it. Ooh. That's super, super perfect for this. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I rolled a 12.
Spine.
Hey, all right. Point of whim.
22, 26, 29, 33.
Wow. That's good. Over the next 5-6 minutes, Xenator uses Martin like a bloodhound of weirdness.
Oh, no, it's like,
like a tuning fork, a divining rod.
Divining rod, yeah.
He grabs on, grabs onto the back of his mind and follows him. Follows into water, to the weird, strange water. And you have seen warping energy like this a couple of times. When you fought clasped hands underneath the sacred tavern. When you saw the sisters twist together. And when you saw Elida take that strange little reality maggot out of that glass case. And watched it burrow into her daughter, changing her. To your mind, it looks like that, and you actually see a piece of similar glass and brass casing shattered on the ground, and the warping that has been done to these mighty old stones looks like the deforming magic of the glorious that you have seen a few times. And it appears that what it was done is it was twisted in reverse. Where this is meant to be a place of stillness, it is now a place of agitation and movement and change.
Can I tell if that is the byproduct of some specific effect that was conjured or created, or was that actually the purpose, was to retune the standing stones so that they could be used?
Oh, interesting. Later. It seems to be a mix of magics. Someone used the power of the glorious that has to break down and reshape and change things, but then cast some sort of spell to refine that or hone that to do just that, to make this into a place of change. And as you're looking, a little crackle from the center of the standing stone goes out. And at the last possible moment, Xenator grabs onto Martin, pulls him back as magic blares out from the inside. You can see all the grass on the ground around you withers dies, like runs through its life cycle, drops seeds, those seeds grow into grass, and those die in this hyper fast like rotation of time and life cycle as this like magic ripples out towards you. And your point of and that max value, I'll spend that point of whim to have you like pull backwards and get just on the other side of that. And Xenator thrusts out his staff. You can see part of his staff, like just a few like of the spines and branches on it, like wither to dust and blow away. But he's able to just hold back that pulse of magic before it consumes the two witches who are with you.
Okay. Well, I do know this magic. We've seen it before.
Good start.
Dangerous, it appears.
It's the glorious.
Oh, fuck me.
Ass reaction.
Meanwhile, back in... Oh, God!
Did Sovi and Malloway, did they recognize that, or are they like...
They looked at each other very troubled and upset to have heard that, like, suspicious and troubled, yeah.
Meanwhile,
the time grows nigh, sisters. The birth pangs have begun. We must make our selection.
I don't want to interrupt, but can we do like a quick girl fight before this like moon birth? Or
Grandmother
no?
Polly, Ingrid Clo, Mother Narimede, Miridane, Braladine, sisters. Do we have our answer? Who do we wish to anoint into the coven? And they look, we must meditate, we must think upon it as the moon gives birth to new life, to a new god of magic. We must choose. Sisters, do you wish to be one of us? They say, like, holding their hands out to you and, like, falling into this strange meditation.
I was super on board, but now I'm starting to feel a little weird about this whole situation. What do you think? Should we join them?
We accept your terms. Unconditional surrender to the will of the coven.
Wait, that's not...
Elena steps forward and, like, kind of prostrates herself.
I have been betrayed by men my whole life. I have killed and clawed and wrenched for every inch I have ever gotten. My daughters and I are ready for a new family. For sisters.
And so the three of them are like holding out their hands. Okay, what do you guys want to do?
It's our understanding that one group of three is being admitted, correct?
They need three. Yes, your understanding is that they need three women.
I mean, we're hotter and cooler, so they'll probably pick out
the
one.
I think we would want to try to block whatever it is Elida wants.
Mm-hmm.
So throwing our hat in the ring was going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Should we enter into covenly contract with you, sisters? You would have access to our abundance of power, beauty, and skill. And what is our commitment in return? What do you expect from us?
Power unfolded, layered upon power, we grow in strength as our numbers grow. We defend one another with our life's blood. We commit to spreading the word of the moon far and wide and securing the practice of witchcraft. And we gather for the harvest of new life, to cut free the gods of magic with ultimate sacrifice.
And as she lifts up her hand, a blade of moonlight appears in her palm, and she lowers it down and puts it to the throat of the unicorn.
We sacrifice with most holy blood.
Not liking this vibe. I'm pro moon, but this commitment is big. It's a big commitment, you guys.
So wait, you're gonna kill that perfect, beautiful creature?
Sacrifice is required of all magic, and our magic is the first sacrifice.
I'm out.
the horn cut loose. The only thing that can pierce the moon's belly and deliver by bladed birth the old god buried within new flesh.
Well, why do you have to kill the unicorn to you? Like, couldn't you just coax it up to the belly with treats and...
Blood and blade and horn and death and life. The ritual draws nigh. The time, the birth pangs draw nigh. And then a pulse ripples out from the belly, cracking the ground underneath your feet and knocking trees over.
I don't know what to do. I don't want to kill that unicorn.
I don't know how we're supposed to stop it.
We just have to take down a coven of 330 witches. It's still no big deal. I don't
think we can do that.
Even my delusional ass knows we can't do that.
Don't worry, Gwen. Just let us take the noose positions within the coven.
Oh,
nothing to worry about.
So we have to be complicit in a unicorn death to get this spot?
I'm so sorry. That this is so awful.
Uh-huh.
What it's sounding like.
And it sounds like we're going to have, like, at least quarterly sacrifices. That
yeah, how often is this? How often is this ceremony?
The sacrifice of purest blood only happens once
What's
a century. The sacrifice of child and woman and men flesh on the rising of the moon.
Once a century isn't that bad.
Well, like a one-and-done situation?
Did you not hear the rest of
it?
Yeah.
No.
You just didn't care.
I didn't hear. I clung to once a century.
I think maybe... I mean, I'm obviously reacting to what I'm learning here at the table, but I think it's actually pretty reasonable that Xenator would want them to know that the Glorious had taken an action here in Candlewood. So I think I actually do want a Wizard Whisperer to let them know that the
Great.
Glorious destroyed the Standing Stones.
So you get, like, a message from Xenator. This is Xenator. So just go ahead and give him your message.
Roger.
Yeah, you get basically a magical message that you can respond to, and he can give you further information if you need to. But so your mind sort of spin down. Everything starts to move slower. Mother Naramede is coming over towards you. She sees your hesitation.
Gwendolyn, I know you feel lost right now.
I do.
But this is home. I know your heart feels that. You must know that all this time, your emptiness, it can be filled.
My God!
Do it. See what happens.
I mean, I think we've decided that we're doing it.
All right, so then, Xenator, go ahead. So she's reaching out to you literally, and then her hand starts to slow.
And a hologram of Xenator goes,
and then
help.
A hologram of Xenator appears in front of
you
and everything freezes.
Help me, Gwendolyn. You're my only hope.
So this message coming in allows you to speak back. And how perfect is this? It's her two magical influences pushing on her from two different
it's
sides.
It's like the good idea bear and the bad idea bear.
Remember to study.
Remember the bathtub.
Practice your discipline.
That sounds boring.
And is like, yeah, in your best like Alec Guinness voice.
Don't be alarmed. It's this is a wizard whisper.
Jesus. What?
So everything around you freezes. Time seems to stop.
All three of us.
All three of you. Yep.
It's weird in here, man.
It's weirder out here. We're investigating the Standing Stones. They
the
have
fuck
been
are those?
Just
they're stones that stand.
Thanks, Martin.
Good
thanks,
contribution,
Tree.
Martin.
Love your work.
Mm-hmm.
They're a place of power. They're important to the witches. They're probably the reason why this grove is where it is, and they have been completely, well, not destroyed exactly, but.
Perverted, twisted.
Yeah, by the Glorious. They're here.
You look over at the purpley skin and the...
Speaking of the Glorious being here, fucking Elida and her crazy feet lady twins are here, but they're separated, but they're different now. It's really weird
Elida
over here.
Elida is here?
Yes.
She's trying to be a witch.
She's trying to join the coven. So
we're
it's either us or them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are going to join the coven, that's cool, but like... They're gonna kill this unicorn.
Deep breaths, Gwen. Deep breaths.
Yeah, how's Otax feel?
We know that Elida is aligned with the Queen of Spite.
We're trying to cockblock her from joining this coven, but we also have reservations about joining it. But
does the coven know that?
I also super want to join it. That we're trying to cockblock her?
No, that Elita is a glorious, and that she got that power from the Queen of Spite.
We should probably tell them.
Don't know. Maybe that's why they want her. For that extra power.
Maybe. Or maybe they don't realize, and it's a poison pill that's going to corrupt the coven from within and bring them back in alignment with the Briar Witch.
Well, now I really don't know what to do. Do we tell them? Should we tell them?
Gwen. Gwen, where is your mind?
Yeah.
Here,
this is Mother Naramede. I feel your mind pulled away from mine, sister.
Make it happen, Gwen. You got this.
Mother.
So you snap back. There you are. Where did you go just now?
And the
chanting continues and the magic starts to flow around the glen.
I went to a place of clarity and understanding.
Yes, sister.
I received a
your
message.
Moment of transcendence is almost upon you.
I feel it approaching, but I also feel danger to the coven.
She like her hair like bristles on the back of her neck. Speak, sister. Speak to me.
The coven that
Coven.
The coven that that rightfully distrusts the Queen of Spite.
Our ancient enemy, yes.
She has a presence here in these woods among three trying to join your coven.
And then her eyes like pass over to the other three.
Elida, what does she speak of? My dealings with the Queen of Spite are dead and gone and buried.
She lies!
I was betrayed. I did a murder for her at the destruction of my own home. And I was abandoned, cast out into the woods where you found me, sisters. The Glorious, they saved my life. My daughters, they are the future.
You want this crazy shit in your coven?
The Glorious are powerful indeed, Elida, but they are new. We cannot trust them.
They will not serve you, coven. They will only serve the Queen of Spite, and they will only serve to destroy your sisterhood.
Elida, have you brought plague, contagion into our midst?
Tell them about the Standing Stones, Elida.
I know nothing of these Standing Stones.
The Standing Stones that have been twisted and defiled of their sacredness by your glorious spawn? Your filth that you brought into the wood?
It is a witch that required transformation of the Standing Stones.
I thought you didn't know anything about those.
I know nothing of its purpose. I know nothing of why my daughter's power was required.
So you're just blindly allowing the power that you three now possess to go into the hands of anyone who asks this of you? Have you no allegiance?
I wish for the power of my daughters to benefit the witches of the Grimwood, the women of the wild and the old. That is what I wish. This is why I wish to pledge my daughter's life. Leave me out if you must. I can bear the cold, but take my daughters, take their power, secure your place in this strange new future.
Take our power and rise up against the Queen of Spite. Eradicate the Glorious and rise to a power never before seen that could not be achieved while they exist.
Yes,
Persona
queen.
Checks!
I'm offering you a way better deal.
Oh, shit.
Alright, here we go. Here's Elida's Amanda. Well, the 4 plus.
I rolled an 11.
Oh, yeah, baby!
Plus 4 is 15. Plus, I feel like fearsome, tree shaded, and do no harm.
Do you still have that?
Yeah.
That's the last time you're going to get to use that one, let me tell you that.
I know.
All right,
but
so...
But I feel like it's helping me bolster a compelling
Yeah,
argument.
You seem to have pushed the witches towards your side.
So if all of those count, then I'm at 21.
Can
all
Val right. standing behind her, like,
Yeah, for sure. Definitely two. A plus... Well, plus, plus one. Plus one, yeah.
You two are just Charlie's Angels. Charlie's yeah. Angels. Like,
I'm going to Cameron Diaz behind you.
Yes.
Sisters, her words may have persuaded you for the time being, but listen to this. They do not have the stone. They do not have the iron in their blood. They will not accept this sacrifice or the sacrifice of children. They do not know the ancient ways, and they would reject them if they understood them. Make them sacrifice this unicorn to the moon. Make them spill its holy blood. They will not have the iron. I do. I will slit it from stem to stern.
You bitch.
They all look at each other.
Do you see how fucking crazy she is?
Sacred blood will spill tonight, my sisters.
We accept this.
And our new sisters will spill it.
All right, so Gwen, Lavaline, and Val are backed into a corner. Meanwhile, Xenator, Martin, Otax, and the other Nodigaster and Doderfell are rushing back to this location as fast as they can. The Cambion is sweating profusely in the corner of the glen. He's, like, holding his hands, like up to his temples. Like, he's having a full panic attack because here is this powerful, evil ritual going on. And yet it troubles his friends and puts his friends in danger. So his human side and his evil side, or maybe neither or both, are in full, like, conflict. So he doesn't know what to do. He's almost, like, he's just stunned. He doesn't know how to help. So Gwen and Val and Lavaline are given the Blade of Moonlight by Mother Braladine. And they hand it to you. And it is warm and cold and hot and icy in your hand. And you approach to this unicorn where it sleeps gently. And would you like to make an intellect check to analyze the magic on the unicorn?
Naturalist.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter. And tree.
Actually, yes, because it's a net.
And tree shaded.
Yeah, creature of the forest, sure.
So that is 17.
Okay, so... The unicorn, you can see, is trapped inside...
Oh, way more than that, actually. 27, sorry.
Oh, jeez! Okay, well, it's trapped inside woven starlight. So they've caught it in, like, those bridle... Or those knots and nets you saw them making outside. It's caught in something like that. And it has a powerful spell of sleep. It is, like, writhing around its head, keeping it unconscious.
Okay. So it's under... A sleeping spell,
mm-hmm.
which means it can be woken, but it will be a challenge to wake it.
Actually, with this Blade of Moonlight, you don't think that cutting that spell free or cutting the net that it's trapped in free would be very difficult. Freeing the unicorn would be fairly easy, in fact.
Right, but I want to converse with it. I don't want it to just run off.
Well.
I want to wake it up maybe while it's still entangled.
Okay.
And then chat with it.
Ooh, dark. But
I know, but I don't.
But
want
you don't
want to
blow it.
Off.
You don't want to blow it. You don't. I get it.
So I'm going to, like, procure a carrot that I always have some sort of
yeah,
snack tucked
yep.
away, and it's going to be like a smelling salt situation where I'm trying to. Like,
do you want me to hold that? Meaning so the weapon.
Hold this.
The
one.
Sleeping spell snaps angrily at your fingers as you try to wake it up and won't let go of the unicorn's mind.
I wonder if I can whip something up, like some sort of antidote.
Just absorb the spell.
I wonder if I could just absorb this spell by placing my hand
you
on the
place
snitch.
Your hand on it, make a will difficulty 5 check. If you fail, you will fall asleep,
oh my
which
God.
Would be very un-
Well, my will is 5, so I'm just rolling this on a 0.
And then, yeah, trying to get there
I
with
have
your
to
facets.
Get... Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. I need brave. Empathetic would work here.
Definitely.
Okay, then I hit 10 with those.
There
two.
You go. Okay. She absorbs. You put your hand out and absorb a spell called Ancient Sleep. into your body.
All right, I'm just going to write it down, and yes. then eventually I might unlock this.
Mm-hmm. Classic witch curse.
This is like fucking True Love's Kiss.
You got
shit.
It.
Get
yep.
It. Okay. Okay, so I have absorbed this spell, which means now I can...
The unicorn's the eyes immediately drift open, luminous like liquid silver in its head.
Hello.
Help me, please.
Oh, I knew it. I'm sorry.
I have been caught by witches, fair maiden.
And you don't want to be in this situation.
Caught by witches? No. No, I would very much like to run free in the forest.
And it looks up.
Oh, the moon is pregnant with spawn. I am to be sacrificed. That's my horn used to cut it.
Breathe, breathe.
Another beautiful maiden. Hello.
Look at me. Look me in the eyes.
Yes,
we're
I see.
Get out of
calming
here.
Animal we're situation happening right
okay.
Yes.
We're gonna get. We're gonna.
Princess.
Our way out this, okay?
I have a penchant for princess.
Oh, I love you. Okay, we're gonna.
Innocent
we're gonna get
maiden,
here.
I trust you. I do.
This is gonna sound wild, okay? So I just want you to keep an open mind here. What if there were a way for you to use your horn and gift with consent a little bit of blood? Just like just like a finger, like a hoof prick. Just a little bit. And then you can go and we can show this coven that sacrifice of death, the ultimate sacrifice, is not actually needed from these majestic creatures, but just a little bit of trust and cooperation, mutually advantageous cooperation, and then no witches would ever need to ensnare and harm unicorns ever again.
Well,
what if we could build a symbiotic
that would
thing?
Be really great.
Wouldn't
but,
it?
And then there is another birth pang from the belly of the moon, and another
Ooh.
Ripple goes out and like all, like knocks over more trees.
So all you need to do...
Sister Gwen, now is the time. The horn must be cut free.
I'm
it
preparing.
It must carve the moon's
okay.
belly open.
Got it.
And then a sacrifice of death must seal the
no,
covenant.
No, wait, that's not what you said.
Hold
you
on.
Said blood, and now all of a sudden you're saying death. I can get you a horn, I can get you blood from this unicorn, all right? Best I can do is horn and blood.
We're walking out.
We're walking.
The horn cuts free the newborn.
Yeah, got it.
The deluge of afterbirth seals the new covenant. And death locks the pact. Innocent life must be spilled. A great, terrible price must be paid for power.
What about
you
a little
see,
death?
They waver. Elena, like, shoves her finger out at you. My daughters and I are prepared to make this sacrifice.
Elena charges. Lavaline, give me that knife. I'll show you what strength is! So as she's like, she's running across the glen towards you, the two sisters are starting to like twitch and click, and you can see their left leg and right leg are starting to slide over towards each other.
Mother, we feel strange.
No, not again.
Okay, here we go. Everyone roll initiative.
Fuck. 14. I'm rolling
11.
Sixes on this initiative. Like
12.
All right, Gwen. So, the unicorn in front of you tied up. Lavaline has the moon knife. Elida is running. The Twisted Sisters are beginning to transform. You see Nazi is running towards you. She has this like look on her face like, I can help. I think I can help.
Me, my life. Take my life. Leave that poor beast alone! My life isn't worth anything! Take me, please!
Nazi, no! And then I want to cast Verdant Lightning on the vegetation on the ground around them with the express intention of tangling both Nazi and the Twisted Sisters.
Sounds good.
Up. Okay.
All right, Gwen.
This is gonna suck, but I have to boost it up.
A crackle of green lightning flares out from Gwen's fingertips.
We have lightning thorns, people.
Yep. It picks up, cutting into the Twisted Sisters' flesh. It looks like it makes them hard. It's making it harder for them to like push into each other. Uh-huh. And then Nazi gets like tangled up and is like trying to tear herself free, almost panicked. Please, no, let me do something that matters.
All three of them get 5 pierce slash shock damage.
And are entangled.
So it's not so bad. And they are
entangled. And she trips and falls onto the ground and is like trying to crawl her way over towards you. Okay, Gwen, so that was your complex action. What would you like to do with the unicorn situation in front of you?
I want to tell the unicorn, stay calm. We're going to cut you out of the net. All you have to do is cut that moon's belly with your horn and then run away. Do you agree to do that? It's the only way we all get out of this alive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. It's going to be gross, but all you got to do is cut it, and run. It's the definition of cut and run.
Very well, okay? Fair maiden, I promise.
You are going to... You're amazing, and I just love you. Okay, she's going to cut you free in just a minute here. What are you going to do when you're free?
You could also grab the knife and do it if you want.
I am not giving up this knife.
Yeah. No.
Okay, forget that.
What are you going to do when she cuts you free?
Stab the belly, run!
That's right, honey, let's do this!
Okay, Val...
It's time for me to hopefully redeem myself when I couldn't stab Elida last time, and I want to cloak swoop directly towards her to try to surprise her and take the man-eater dagger. But can I... How quick can I poison this blade?
Remember that the new poisoning kit has the... Oh, how perfect! She poisoned you!
Uh-huh.
This bitch.
So it's got 3 charges a day that you can do as just a free action, like, for freebies.
Because I want to use Grim Whistle, which is a 10 poison for 4 rounds.
Awesome.
And...
Yes, yeah, okay, so you dunk the man-eater dagger into the poison sheath, pull it out with a dose of Grim Whistle on it, and shove it into Elida's stomach. Let's see if it hits. Her guard is 6.
So we're at 21 minus hers is 6.
Okay. 21 minus 6 is well above 10.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
this man-eater's accurate.
Yeah, it's very accurate. In a swirl of red cloak, Val appears in front of Elida and shoves the blade into her stomach.
Gotcha.
And so Elida wraps her fingers around your neck. Little girl.
Harder, Daddy.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
And she looks.
Wow.
And she looks deep into your eyes. Call your mother. Would you make a will defense roll?
Oh
no. Oh, that is bad.
Oh, a defense is always on a 20.
D20. So you're gonna roll and just add your will, and you're gonna subtract 8 from it.
You can do it.
Oh no. Is 11 minus 8.
Okay.
Fuck.
You
my will needs to be worked on. It's only 5.
All right.
It's okay.
You are filled with the unquenchable urge to contact your mother, which you...
But I can't do that.
Well...
There's no cell reception here.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Can't do it.
And if you had the Verizon plan, you probably could.
It's a little bit warm. Yeah. Free roaming for a reason.
Fucking only T-Mobile is what they have for dark, Siberia, so you can't get Verizon.
A dark red thought starts to spread through your mind.
Oh.
Hey, Val.
You know
it's me, V.
Funny.
I got this weird notion that maybe you wanted to call home?
No. No.
Where are you, Val?
Butt.
We miss you so much, Val. All
right.
I'm shot so far.
Lavaline.
Don't like that.
Val and Elida are grappling. Elida is like trying to gouge Val's eyes out with her thumbnails and seems to have implanted something in Val's head that she's like pitching around. However, Val seems to have gotten the more visceral end of that exchange as her blade is deep in Elida's guts and there seems to be poison leaking out onto the ground.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We should go in, right? Right? Now's the time.
There's
No.
You just hear Val going, no! In your butt! And then there's another crackle of lightning, and the Twisted Sisters
are
clawing their way towards each other through the underbrush.
I'm so lonely. Then let's get back together.
All right, Lavaline, what do you do? Your turn.
Oh, wow. There is a lot going on, so time seems to be of the essence. I am going to cut free the unicorn.
There is a slash, a glitter of light, and Gwen needs to make a persona check, difficulty 5, to see if she convinced the unicorn to help or if it is going to just run away.
Are you kidding me? I should have done that check earlier.
No, you shouldn't. You should do it now when the consequences are on Laveline.
Fair. Empathetic, do no harm, and
yep, make you trust you more. I'm officially insisting. After,
wild kind.
I am officially insisting after that. Actually, maybe you can hang on to do no harm after this because you really went to the mat.
I tried.
Okay. And what was the last one?
Wild kind.
Yes, that'll work.
Trying to relate.
So
okay.
You're going to get all three of those bonus.
And my persona's 4, so
minus
that's
5.
Plus 10, so it's a plus 5 on this.
So you got to roll a 5 or higher. Let's do it. I love high tension checks doing the math ahead of time.
Rolled a 6!
Yay!
Oh my god!
The
oh my
unicorn
god.
Pulls up to its full height, its mane billowing in the whipping supernatural wind, and it carves its horn along the underside of the belly, and a huge pale hand immediately pushes its way out from inside.
It's beautiful!
And you see glowing eyes inside.
Mama!
Thanks for the foley.
Wee!
Yeah, that's it. Wouldn't the, and then the child moon god pushes its face out and goes, "Hey, wah, mama, wah." Like, can you fucking imagine if that's what it sounded like? All right.
Yes.
So then the horse hits the ground after performing its task, and it looks like it is. Yeah, it's about starting to sprint away.
Great.
What do you do?
I will say just for a little bit of color, she actually has zero hesitation when she does this because she had already mentally prepared herself some time back when she thought you were still actually killable. And she just turns and slits her throat.
Oh!
Oh, it's still here.
Making full eye contact with the like witches that are inviting us into the coven.
She's like, oh, I'm hard. You think I'm not?
Ooh.
Oh, that gave me a chill.
Yep. So a second slice appears in lily white flesh. Laveline opens her throat and blood begins to pour. After a slight hesitation, blood begins to pour out, white on red, red on white. Yes.
Do we feel it? Do we know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going in.
You're all still waiting.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, after Martin feels something draw across his throat and knows Laveline is in deep trouble and can feel her life like bleeding away, and he just can't bear it, and he sprints inside towards the grove.
No, Laveline!
All right, roll in on initiative there, Martin. Okay.
9.
All right, Martin charges in, and okay, I got a few places to check in with. All right, Otax sees Martin like pitch forward, and he just puts his hands on his head. Oh god, what do we do? And for the first time, you see his like facade like kind of crack. Doderfell's crying.
Just be ready.
All right, the Cambion like grabs his hands onto his horns and pulls on them so hard that one of them cracks. I being pulled in half.
Okay.
Silver white blood pours out of the womb of the moon onto the ground, running across Gwen's feet. You are anointed. You can feel the snap in your senses. Your imagination and yourself are now split among 331 other people. You feel this surge of power and terrible dark secrets and incredible bright stories like flash before your eyes. And she lifts up into the air, literally floating and light.
It's everywhere. It's in everything. Flying. Yes.
I've been waiting like 40 episodes or something for that to really. The moon itself is in your blood. And you can see the infant pulling its way into the world, and it is so beautiful. It is so perfect. It is
awe-inspiring. I would die for this creature.
Yep. Awe-inspiring.
Okay. Well, holy shit.
Gwen will never be more powerful than she is right now. You feel mighty, mighty power.
With that said, I feel like I should attack Elida.
That'd be great.
Cool.
Please do.
I am going to...
What do I do? I'm going to be honest. I don't feel confident in my rolling abilities to get out of this on my own, so I really like
great. So, well, Val, you see... Here, so you see,
I'm going to target Elida.
You see Val being in trouble. I see what you're
saying. We can get to the sisters next.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to light her fucking ass on fire then. So I guess... I mean, I'm rolling.
Yep, go ahead. Roll.
I rolled a 5.
Okay. But what would you like that roll to have been?
A 20.
Interesting. All right. So suddenly the magic, it comes so easily. The die in the world above twists and changes on the table until a 20 appears
Holy
above.
Holy shit.
Remember your discipline.
Yeah, I think I'm using my discipline
you
right now.
You hear Zenitor. Don't give in to the power. All right.
Shut up, Zenitor.
All right. So, go ahead and roll your spell mutation.
Holy shit. Okay. Oh. Ghost burn. I rolled the top that I could possibly get.
Hey, nice.
If you choose, you may cause the spell to burn only objects or individuals of your choice, bypassing and ignoring objects of individuals.
There you go.
Choose.
Okay, you have a lot of options here, but the flame instantly immolates Elida, who, I mean, she goes up just like a bonfire, but the fire is not even hot to Val. However, that compulsion snaps out of your head, and V's voice disappears from inside your noggin as Gwen's magic bears down on Elida. How much damage would you like this to do?
I could just pick?
Well, how much damage would you like this
just
to
like
do?
So much.
I mean, enough damage to kill her. I want it to be fatal.
All right, how much would you like that to be?
I think, what, 100 damage over... lasting 3 rounds.
Oh, jeez.
It's like 1,000.
Yeah,
oh,
it's like 1,000 then.
So like 300 damage.
Okay, so 100 over 3 rounds.
Yeah, 100 each time.
You mean...
And I want the patterns across her skin to just start saying, I'm a bad mother. I'm a bad mother. Just all over her flesh is burned in.
Horrible... scream as she goes up. You can see her skull inside of her head, orange hot burning through her skin.
Mommy, no.
The sisters.
Gwen's power level, it's over 9,000.
All right.
They're burning her.
Val.
And then they're going to burn me. Oh my god.
All right, Val, Elida goes up like a fucking inferno in front of you.
You're free. Thank you. Oh, my God.
The silvery water roaring out of the womb. You can see it has, like, infused with one person. But you remember, three are going to be anointed.
Splash in the puddle. Okay. And then she walks over to the deluge of moon afterbirth.
All right, you run into it.
She
and
rolls
then
in it like a dog.
Suddenly you hear 332 voices, including Gwen's, calling out in chorus, worshiping the moon, and a blare of power goes through you, and black coarse fur runs down along your arms. A crack snaps your skull as your muzzle pulls forward, huge teeth roaring out of your gums.
No, I'm ugly.
Your back snaps and spreads.
Beast.
And you grow. You are 10, 11 feet tall. You have a huge black tail swishing behind you. Claws made of moonlight extend from your hands.
In all the screaming that she can hear, I want her to hear Gwen reminding her that Lavaline lay lifeless and needs to be anointed to be brought into the coven. Like, we need to splash some placenta juice on her.
Splash some placenta juice on Lavaline.
Yes.
However,
spit some juice right in her face.
However, the wolf is screaming for blood.
It wants violence and combat. Give us an enemy. Give us prey. Let us battle. Let us seek crimson in the moonlight.
It's not that you need Lavaline to be anointed immediately. You just need to take out the other two competitions.
That's true. You could also ride this.
Plus, Martin's running directly towards Lavaline.
So I picture her, like, eyes closed, this massive beast suddenly just, like, taking it in. And then, like, eyes open, and they're, like, these yellow beast eyes.
So glowing.
And they fixate right on the Twisted Sisters trying to become one. And, like, she's like, you.
Fucking go get them!
Yeah. Oh, no!
The voices say as they meld together.
Oh, it's on.
All right, Val, 3 attack rolls, please. Plus 15 bonus to each.
13, so 23, plus
28.
So, okay. 11.
Plus
15,
26.
18.
Fuck yeah!
All right, so the 18 crits. So it crits on 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, so that's 50, 50, and 100, so 200 damage.
Cool.
Would you like to do more?
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
All right, roll again.
I love I'm not this.
Moon frenzy.
This moon juice.
You love a good moon juice.
12, 17.
That's another 50. That's 250. Would you like to do more?
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you will.
Oh, no. That one.
Yeah, that was a one. Why don't you try a mulligan? Just do over.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, redo.
Ooh, wait, hold on.
And now it's a 19. That sounds better.
Oh, that sounds like a crit.
That sounds like a crit.
No, but I did. I rolled a 1.
They're getting completely out of control. Like, let them on.
Giving us too much power.
All right, so the one stops the attack. So you got to 300. So Valeriana tears into the creatures as they start to swell and billow, and rips them to pieces. Would you like to concentrate on one, split it between both of the sisters?
I want
to
split them apart and then concentrate on one of them.
All right, so the first attacks throw the two of them apart, like their bodies like landing far across the clearing, and then you set on Calliantha, the meaner one, who you probably hate a little bit more, rip her to absolute shreds. There are just pieces, but the pieces are still moving. Blood and congealed ichor are snaking across the ground, trying to pull her back together, and then you howl. You howl in frenzy.
I feel like Val would be like, this is for Sarah in her brain at the very least. Like, especially after her seeing her,
so cruel to her,
her prison, and just like relating to how alienated that she felt. Mm-hmm. And just,
that's awesome.
I think that definitely is fueling her rage. On top of the like moon induced void rage that's happening right now.
But it's also personal. It's also deeply personal in there. All right, Lavaline, you are bleeding profusely.
I am dying.
Yes, dying profusely. Rather profusely. The liquid silver water is like pouring out over towards you, and it runs near your hand, and you're starting to black out. What would you like to do? You have, you know, sort of limited capacity here, as there's not a lot of blood in your brain.
In my head, I've already collapsed, so I think I might like
just let yourself go.
Yeah, honestly, I might try to reach towards it, but I don't imagine I have a lot of energy to care about anything.
The last thing you see before your eyes sort of like white out is your fingertips like touching the silvery water, but it sort of just passes around your fingers. There's not enough left of you to become part of the coven, and then you slip away, and Lavaline dies. So her body just sort of goes gray and lifeless there on the ground. All right, Martin.
Okay. Well, I do not know that she is dead yet. I just see Lavaline on the ground.
You burst in and see a lot of shit.
I run over to Lavaline, and I transform. I want to use my inanimation expert to transform 2 fingers on my left hand to scissors. And 1 finger.
It's the opposite of what I need right now.
On my, I don't know you're dead yet. on my right hand to a bandage.
Got it.
And I am going to transform and cut off that bandage to wrap around her neck effectively cutting off my own pinky finger.
Got it.
Oh my god. Okay.
So your flesh melds with the flesh of her throat, like sealing it shut, and then you snip it painfully off, losing a point of body. And would you please make a intellect difficulty hit? We'll just hide it.
Okay.
Because he doesn't know what's going on exactly.
Kind.
Mm-hmm.
Giving.
Definitely.
15.
So you are able, unfortunately, as you seal up the blood, you realize there's nothing trickling out anymore. That her heart has stopped and the light of Lavaline has passed out of her body. You can still feel like a tenuous connection to it, but there are energies roaring around the glen. And then the moon baby reaches out and grabs Martin.
And you turn into a rat.
It reaches out and grabs you, like picks you up like a little toy and holds it over towards its face.
Put me down.
Mother?
No, I'm not. Put me back. I need to help my friends.
Mother.
No. Hey, stop. I try to like wiggle and like shape shift into squirmy things that
it looks disappointed as you like gel out of it.
Stop. Put me back. All right. I want to do a pokey thing.
Oh, you just want to poke him a little, get him to let you down?
Yeah,
no, no roll required. You make like a little stabby in his hand.
Yeah.
Ooh, and pure deific blood, a single drop drips out and lands on top of your head and like rolls down, coating you in quicksilver. And it starts to wail.
Now you've done it. You made him cry.
And
you made
like
him
sad,
cry.
Otherworldly hollow. And you can see the other moons starting to get bigger and bigger in the sky as they come down towards the sound. Okay, shit. This is getting wild.
Once I get dropped down to the ground, I think I go back over to Lavaline.
Yep. You are now bright, glittering silver. The mercury is like fusing into your skin and your flesh, making you like a silvery, like metallic sheen.
But I'm not ready to give up on life-saving measures yet. So.
Got it. Just start pounding on your chest. Great. All right, Gwen, it is your turn. Everything is in sort of rocked time here. The sisters are just crawling across the ground, withering under the wolf attack.
But they're alive still?
Yep. Well, Calyantha's barely alive. Delienda is looking confused. And, oh my god, she's crawling towards the silvery water.
I am going to once again target the plant life. And try to... I don't trust myself to be able to kill them. But
gotcha.
I want to keep them from getting to the baby wet wet.
Got it.
To the baby wet.
So you blast the ground underneath Delienda and are shocked to see not plant life, not like thorns growing, but a massive wood, a tree, a huge 100-foot tall white oak blaring with lightning rocks up under the ground underneath them and like launches her up into the air where she goes.
Oh!
That doesn't count. I didn't see it. It went in my crotch.
Okay. Conductive. Deal 10. If cast targeting plant matter, all spaces of plant matter adjacent to you are also targeted.
Well,
I'm also tangled.
Well, what actually happens is you and Delienda are both, like, lightning strikes the ground underneath both of your feet. And a massive tree grows underneath each of you, and you're pulled up into the sky.
That's fine. I'm fine with this.
And the tree that Delienda is on is very conductive. And lightning begins to strike it over and over and over again.
Oh, no. So how much damage do I have to roll for?
Well, how much would you like to do?
Enough to kill her.
How much do you think you should make that?
Well, it happens over and over and over again.
I have to keep track of how much you guys cheat the game for your consequences later.
That's... Okay, then I would like to deal 100 shock damage.
Sure that's enough?
Yes.
Okay. So let's see, 300 plus 100 is 400. All right, lightning, green lightning strikes Delienda over and over and over again in the sky. And Val, you're up. Calyantha turns towards you and starts to like roll and get big again, and her arms are stretching out.
Nope, we're not done here.
Make you ugly like I feel.
All right, Val. Would you like to use Moon Fury again?
Yes.
All right, do it. 3 for free.
8.
8 plus 15 is 23 minus 10 is 13 is a hit.
Oh, no. Another 8, so another 13.
That's a hit. 50, 100, 100 damage.
11.
Okay, so 150 damage. Would you like to continue to attack?
I'm going to... I think she's so furious. She's just going to like try to bite her head off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make another one.
Yeah. 20.
There it is! Alright, Val. Val in fucking wolf fury form. This huge 12-foot tall obsidian black nightmare of a wolf rips and shreds the remains of the Glorious to pieces and snaps its skull in half between its teeth.
Yeah.
Nice.
As the soul of the Glorious snaps in half, the black void begins to suck the existence all around you in. The grass, the trees, the bodies of witches begin to pitch through the air, sucked in towards this black void where a Glorious was killed. The spite, the ravenous void left behind by the spite of a Glorious, threatens to suck all life from miles around inside of its darkness. And the Cambion ignites his soul. His red skin burns off of his body. Embers spread from the opening where he tore himself open, exposed his soul. Butterflies made of cinders flutter through the air and swirl around the blackness of the Glorious void and push in. And there is a satisfying crunching sound as it is slammed shut. And the Cambion's body falls to the ground, pale white, dust crumbling off of his forehead, his hair falling out at the root, and his form unmoving from where it lays on the ground. And then the wind stops, and everything falls into terrible silence. Val and Gwen are feeling this strange... otherworldly rush of energy, like pouring around their body, and a third form steps into the water, a
God
barefoot splashing on the ground. Miss Melly Etchbridge, the school teacher from Thistleberry Hall.
I mean, I don't know how much I trusted her, but it's better than nothing.
Well, sisters, it seems after a long absence, Molly Merrow returns home once again. And the 333rd Witch of the Coven of the Grimwood is anointed, and there is a flare of light. The moon child pitches up in the air and grows and disappears into the sky with its fellows. And Val, Gwen, and Lavaline are now fall into unconsciousness. Val, your wolf form like boils and burns away from you, leaving just your human body like falling. You fall out of its belly as it like rots and disintegrates around you. When you hurtle to the earth and hit the ground with such force that the new roots and branches that grow out of you are now like sink into the earth to suck blood and nutrients out of the soil, and you sort of root yourself there and pass into unconsciousness. And okay, so those of you who are still with us, I guess it's just Martin in the Glen. So everything is really quiet. The other
not
I'm just crying.
Not traumatizing at all.
It's you and Melly Etchbridge in the Glen.
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, I think I'm just sobbing. What happened?
His heart burned out as he lit the light of goodness to seal away the dark.
What happened to Gwen and Lovely, Val?
I think it's best for you to sleep. And she casts her hand.
I'm not tired.
And she casts her hand over your face.
I don't want to go to bed.
And you pass blissfully into like calming sleep, sort of like falling on the ground, spooning where the cambion was a moment ago.
That's sad.
From out of the glen, none of your friends arrive. Miss Melly Etchbridge, with flaring strange eyes and wild hair, comes walking out of the sacred inner grove.
Well, that was a wild ride. Flames caught on my dress, my jewels melted to slag, finery burned to carbon tatters, wealth, home, standing, gone. Crawl. Fire burning, hurting, skin is charcoal, skin is gone. Eyes melted, running down my cheeks, mixed with the tears for my poor, murdered daughters. Daughters gone. Crawl. Nails snapping on root and stone. Bones in fingers exposed, white and black, digging into wood and mud and dirt. Humanity gone. Crawl. A voice cuts through, and though her ears are melted shut, the cartilage and skin folded over like old wax, Elida hears it. This way, it says. It is no longer pretending. Its voice no longer even tries to play at humanity. It is a crag of broken glass. The sounds are an assault. Crawl this way. Crawl your way to me. Elida considers death, considers giving up. Every breath is a titanic effort, each exhalation collapsing the charred tissues within. But somehow the valves force open, gulp in more air. She considers letting herself die, but then the fire wells up, redder and hotter than the witch flames that burned her to briquette. This fire inside roils like a serpent. If you die, then they win. If you lose, then what's it all been for? The serpent growls. Crawl to me. Slither on your belly like the snake you are. Press down the mud by the angle of the sin on your back. Push down by the weight. Push down. By the way, do you come to me? When it spoke last, it gave her relief. Now the charade was over, and its words rent new and unfathomable agonies into her soul. She had no choice, of course. No choice but between agony and death, or to crawl. Elida felt herself shedding. As she crawled, the ruins of her charred flesh began to loosen. The cinders of her hair shed away. The melted jewelry worked into muscles and bone, becoming gilded scales. The ebony diamonds became a fringe of spines down her back. Betrayer, liar, murderer, snake, creature. am a snake, then let me be a snake. Elida thought as her pain began to vanish. If I am to crawl, then I will be made to crawl. She hissed as her legs detached, forgotten, now vestigial. Her arms shattered off and fell like broken kindling. She now moved by undulation. I shall crawl, and then all will. They will all live on their bellies before us, before we, gods forged by their own want in the crucible of mankind's putrid soul. You see the truth now, the wait called to her. We are no more than they made us to be. We are no invaders. We are the truth of their hearts, come to reclaim the land that is rightfully ours. The land built upon our flesh and bone, coursing with our blood. We are humanity's rightful shadow, and these fancies and fantasies and dreams now come to an end. Elida's new eyes pushed forth, the vertical slit of the iris taking in the moonlight. The membranes slicked away the dirt. The weight was there ahead. It was waiting for her, as it always had been. She understood now that she had been forged, compressed under the pressure of pain and agony, but made harder and more beautiful for it. And power, the power she had been denied as a girl, as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, now she'd finally get what she always deserved, what she always wanted. She screamed her desires to the darkness. There was no reason to deny it anymore, and as she called out what her serpent's heart most wanted, her tongue split down the middle into a proud fork. They'll all crawl!
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knudsen.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod. And check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.